This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Pastor Gayo speaking and inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next hour for God's message. We thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, again for the past hour, how thou hast been so pleased to bless us and to lead us and teach us, to give us confidence. And thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the inheritance that we have and we've begotten through the Lord Jesus Christ. We come asking thy blessings upon this service, and every song that's sung, every word that's spoke, may be done in love and humility. And our Father, be done anything that might exalt our Lord and might glorify thee. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this people. We thank thee for those who are listening out in radio land, that thou will bless them and be with the sick. Guide them and lead them. And bless us this week in the coming fellowship day next Sunday. Our Father, may it be a day in the Lord as we've never spent before. Lead us and guide us in the message this morning. For Christ's sake, we pray and ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 98, and we're going to sing, Oh Happy Day. Oh Happy Day. Brother Pettigo and his wife are with us today, and that's one of their favorite songs. So let's all sing it. Oh Happy Day.
Oh Happy Day.
A happy day, and it's happy day ever afterwards too, and we praise the Lord for that. Yes, oh happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Well, we're just rejoicing and praising the Lord, and so we sang that song just a little while ago, Oh Happy Day. And do you know that was once and for all? Come on, 112, once and for all. And let's stand as we sing it. Come on and stand. It's a gracious number. Everybody sing. Come on. Christ had redeemed us once for all. I wonder how many people realize that, know that great truth, experimental in their heart. I know I would sing a lot of these gracious old hymns, but never really know what the meanings of those words were. But yes, he paid our sin debt in full once and for all. And I do praise the Lord for that. Glad to see you with us this morning. I know I came this morning with a burdened heart for you, for this ministry, for our missions, and burden for the fellowship day next Sunday. Turn with us in your Bible to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I praise the Lord for the way He's blessing this work. And that He's leading us and guiding us, directing us. He builds the house, He keeps the house. He that builds the house without the help of the Lord builds in vain. But if the Lord builds the house, He's going to keep it, and that house is going to stand. It has stood the test of time, this mission, or you might say this church, it has stood the test of times, of time, trials, withstood everything only by the help of the Lord. And that's what I mean when I say unless the Lord keeps it, it'll not be kept. And it's just like your salvation, unless the Lord builds that life by His Spirit, everything that you try to do to keep it, to build it in yourself and your strength and your own energy, it'll all go under. It will not stand the test of eternity. Might stand the test of time, but not eternity. What I have this morning in Christ will stand the test of time and the test of eternity. And you too, if you know the Lord. I pray, that's my prayer, is that you, if you don't know Christ, that you will come to know Him. Because to know Him is to love Him. And to love Him is that you want to follow Him and tell others about Him. Because He is the Lord of your life. In this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we have the gospel. In fact, we can see the gospel almost everywhere in God's Word. But this 15th chapter, Paul declares the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love to tell about it. I love to talk about it, preach it, think about it, because it's the gospel of good news. It's the gospel to guilty sinners, as we're going to see. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. And I praise the Lord for that. And let us never get away from those great truths that we've heard here. Salvation's by power and by blood. And that is demonstrated and brought to our attention from the book of Exodus when the children of Israel left Egypt. And before they left, though, they had to do what the Lord commanded them to do about slaying a goat or whatever it might be, and take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And when the death angel would pass over Egypt, when they saw that blood upon the post, the death angel would pass over that house and not strike the firstborn. But those who didn't listen and were disobedient, the death angel came over, didn't see the blood, and slew the firstborn of that home, which spoke of judgment. So, and then on the other hand, we saw where God delivered the people of Israel out of the hands of the Egyptian. It was by power. By power. And for the Lord to deliver His people out of Satan's territory, out of Satan's clutches, it takes power. Because Satan is a master. Satan is all powerful. He holds the people, the unregenerated, in his power, blinded. He shackled them, shackled their feet, they cannot get out. Blinded their minds, they cannot perceive, they cannot see. Their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life which is in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the great influence that Satan has over a life that has never been awakened. And that's the reason why a sinner's got to be awakened before he's ever brought to the knowledge of Christ or brought to Christ. He's got to be awakened. He's got to know what a sinner he or she is and where they are, that they're lying in the lap of Satan. Because everybody professed to be Christians or born-again believers, is no sign that they're born-again Christians and believers. The question is, do they know Christ? Do you know Him? Have you been delivered by power out of Satan's grasp? And then were you delivered by another one than yourself? And when God shows you your helplessness and your hopelessness and shows you have no power to come out of Satan's grasp, out of his territory, You're helpless. You're bound by him. The Bible speaks of that. You're bound. You're chained. You can wiggle and do everything in your power. You could try to do good works. You could try to do this and do that. But there's nothing in the world that can deliver you unless someone stronger than you, and then Satan should come along. And that's only the Lord Jesus Christ, the strong man, the daysman, the redeemer. He alone can deliver out of Satan's hands by power, by blood. And so that's what this gospel means to the individual whom God has awakened and delivered from the power of Satan, that they can believe, that they can lay hold of this, which Paul tells us in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now this morning in this house or out in radio land, now you're either a child of the living God or you're a child of Satan. You're either rejoicing and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and giving allegiance unto him in all of your life, or you're giving allegiance to Satan and you're wrapped up in the God of this world instead of the God of the Bible. Now you either have your heart cleaned by the Holy Spirit and bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit within you, love, joy, patience, tenderness, forgiveness, and so on, or it's full of malice, as the natural heart is of man. Any individual who is not saved has a natural heart, and it's enmity against God. It hates God. Though religious you might be, or though what you might profess, you hate God. Because the Lord says everyone's gone out of the way. Everyone has turned their back upon me. There's none that does righteousness. No, not one. But it's only when God saves you in the Lord Jesus Christ that he produces a fruit there in the heart. The Holy Spirit is within it that produces righteousness in your life. And it's only then that you can work the righteousness, not of the law, but of Christ, the Holy Spirit. That's what makes the difference, people. That's why we ask the question, do you know Christ? Or you sit in wonder and amazement? Or do you sit and have your own opinions of salvation and your own way of salvation? Well, Dr. Copeland wrote me the other day and he said, there's not too much I can say when God saved me. But there is one thing that stands out in my life. I had to come to the place to where I had to drop dead. He had to drop dead. Now, what does that mean when he says that? That's another term of saying that I've had to come to the end of my way. I had to come to the end of all flesh, of seeing your helplessness and hopelessness outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. See yourself as a dead, guilty, ruined sinner before God. And brother, you'll drop dead. And you've come to think about yourself as deserving death, deserving hell. And why should God have mercy upon such a rebel like me? But no, you go around strutting, you're proud, and you tell God's servant what to do, and if they don't line up with you, if he doesn't do what you want him to do, you get mad, you kick the bucket and everything else, and you hit it for the cornfield and everything else, instead of coming clean and coming clear with the Lord. Isn't that right, Brother Pedigo? Coming clean and coming clear with the Lord. Had some come this morning looking at me with enmity in their heart. You don't get saved in kind of condition like that. And you take out on people because things don't go right. But the gospel is not suited for you. It's suited for a sinner that's broken, that wants to be saved. It is the power of God unto those that would believe. And that God gives the grace and enables them to believe. As long as you're running here and running there and believing this and believing that, and you haven't got quiet before the Lord, you'll never get saved. Now, I know exactly what I'm talking about, because I know when God saved me, I had to get quiet before Him. I had to get still before Him. That's true. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and by which ye stand. And that's the way we stand, those who have received this gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stand forever in that gospel. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now, isn't that wonderful? And you can only tell what you know. I found that out. I can't tell no more up here than what the Lord has taught me. But I praise the Lord that I could tell it, because I could tell it like it is, because God's given it to me like it is. And I can't vary from it. I can't soft soap it. I can't smooth over situations to get you into the kingdom. But to tell it as it is, and people will believe you. You might not be telling it all just like it ought to be, but people rather believe you because you're telling it as it is. There's lots of people that didn't like our late pastor's preaching, but they had to give him this credit that was due him. He believed what he was preaching. But he was preaching the truth. He was preaching the gospel. He did preach it because it reached my heart one day, and it made a new creation out of me, which I praise Him for. Oh, I praise the Lord when the power of the gospel comes home. Listen to what He said there. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have received. Now, this is personal. And when somebody gets up in the pulpit, and they're always preaching about what somebody else did and what this person did and what they've said, and talking about someone else and never talking about what Christ has done for them, it never became a reality and a personal experience of their own heart and life, then there's something questionable there. I mean, it's just something there that's got a missing note. It's a personal testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they've met the Lord, they've been with Him. Now, I also received it, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Now, there it is. And He tells us to search the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, not according to man's theories or reasonings, according to the Scriptures. So let's find out how Christ died. Let's look in the Scriptures. Take time out and find out how did Christ die. What did He die for? Who did He die for? What was His whole purpose behind it? The fulfilling of what? And I've heard this statement. Some people say, well, I don't know why He died. Poor man, why he died like that? They didn't study the Scriptures. They didn't know the Scriptures. I praise the Lord He died for me. that he died as my substitute. He died as my scapegoat. He bore God's judgment for me. Judgment was hanging over my head. I was condemned. And Christ undertook all of God's judgment that rightly should have fell upon me. And I praise the Lord for my Lord this morning. Oh, my Lord. Listen, he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now you see, this is not Paul's reasonings. This is not what he thinks. He says according to the scriptures. And brother, when you start talking about according to the scriptures, and our Lord would often say during his earthly pilgrim, thus said the word, thus said the scriptures. You see, that shuts out all arguments. All right, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul says he was last seen of me. Now, there's nothing more real and more personal about an individual's speech as a personal testimony, a convincing individual. If you got up here and said, I think I'm saved, well, that leaves a sour note. Or maybe I was saved, or I think when I was a child I made a profession, I joined the church. Well, that doesn't mean anything there. You don't have to have any power to do that. All you got to do is come on down and give the preacher your hand and join the church, get baptized, and they call you a Christian. There's no power there. There's no deliverance there. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The Apostle Paul tells us, he says, I declared it unto you, as he learned it, this good news for lost, guilty sinners he had preached, and they had received. Now, have you ever seen yourself a lost, guilty sinner? Lost? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to seek to save that which was lost. Now, you're not lost until you have completely... there's no way out, no way of escape. Take an individual that goes into the woods, and he goes way so far in, and first thing you know, he wakes up to the fact that, now how do I get in here? How do I get out? And he'll look around, he'll go this way, he'll go that way, and he gets more confused, gets more unraveled up in the situation, and then the first thing you know, he said, I'm lost. I'm lost. But as long as a sinner can bring God something and can offer God something besides the blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, as long as he can offer up the Lord like Cain, the fruit of the ground, and that's what I've got, that's the best I can bring. And so maybe he'll accept that. Not knowing the teachings that he was taught from his mother and his dad. And I'm sure that Adam and Eve taught those children the way of the sacrifice. They told Cain and Abel how the Lord was wrathful against them, and what they did and how they sinned. And the only way that they could have forgiveness, he saw God kill that sacrifice, that lamb, whatever it was, and spilled the blood, which typified the offerings that they would have to bring, and how he was satisfied with that offering. And I'm sure that they've seen their mother and dad bring that offering all the time, and they're seeing the fire of God consume it, because God respected that offering. But Cain was determined to be disobedient. He was determined to tell God that that's I don't like that sacrifice. I don't like that bloody, smeary sacrifice. I'd rather do things my way. And if you don't accept what I bring, well, there's nothing else. I'm not gonna do anything else. Forget about it. And so, what happened? Abel brought his sacrifice. No, Cain brought his sacrifice first. All the fruit of the ground, beautiful, yes. And we would say he was a good toil, a one who really tilled the ground wonderfully and grew the fruit bountifully and beautiful. And he brought the best. He put it there. No fire. God did not look down upon that offering because he brought it of his own hands, of his own makings, of his own thoughts, of his own opinions. But Abel brought his lamb, sacrificed it there upon the altar. Fire came down and consumed it. That made Cain mad. Now, I'm just wondering if there's not some people here or out in radio land that are mad and angry because God hadn't saved you as yet. Now, I believe it. I believe there are people who are actually mad and angry because God has not listened to them yet. And they're not saved, and they cannot be rejoicing like the saints, like the believers. And they don't have any kind of assurance or nothing. But they're coming in, they're going out, they're wondering, and I tell you what you're doing. You're sitting, you're wondering, and you're perishing because you lack obedience unto the will of God. And you know you have a stubborn heart. You know there's rebellion there. And you know there's self-will there. And you're trying to get God to bow down to your way and bow down to your will like man does today. But God is not going to bow down to man's will. Man's going to bow to God's will or go to hell. I'm afraid there's some of you in here that'll never get saved because you're self-willed. You've been under preaching the gospel here for a long time. You still do not profess Christ. You do not wear on the fruits of Christ in you. I can just listen to you and see the malice there and the hatred. Instead of you surrendering and hoisting the white flag and bowing at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, God doesn't have to save you. Do you know that? God is not bound to save anybody. He's God. He's omnipotent. He's ruler. He's king. But because he did offer a sacrifice, a lamb without blemish, the Lord Jesus Christ, then his designs were one of love and mercy, and that he could have compassion upon the ignorant, upon the rebellious, and those who have gone out the way. He could. He can. He does. But don't try to get God to save you on your terms. And don't question God's leadership. It was the gospel of grace. And as Paul tells us, this grace wherein we stand, that's where we stand, those of you that believe, you and I that believe, we can't stand on anything else. All of the ground is sinking sand, but Christ will stand forever if you stand upon him on the rock. The only evidence we have of those who believe the gospel are those that continue in the faith, once delivered unto the saints. And for 20 years since I've been here now, I've seen those who profess to know the Lord, and they've turned away in time They've turned away, and now some of them have become some of our bitterest enemies, which is to their shame, which showed that they never were saved in the first place. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. But if you don't have Christ, and if you don't have God's faith, you're not going to endure. You're not going to endure. Now, Christ died, and that is a fact of history. It is. But he died for what? What did he die for? He died for our sins. Praise the Lord. He died for our sins. He died for your sins. Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? Huh? Are you a sinner? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He died for my sins. Can you make it personal? Yes, he died for me. See that inscription way up there? Christ died for me. That man wanted to put Christ died for us, but that wouldn't be personal, would it? Christ died for me makes it personal. Yes, it's a fact of history. Christ did die, but who did he die for? He died for sinners. All right, have you ever seen yourself as a sinner? Has the Holy Spirit ever brought you to place and opened your heart and your mind and let you see what a hell-deserving sinner you are? And the reasons why Jesus died for you? To save you from what? Not primarily save you from hell. Save you from your sins. And for his glory. Remember, sinner, you were created for God's glory, but you've sinned, and God's glory went from you. God restores that glory when he saves you. The heart of a sinner, filled with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:12 tells us he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Isn't that something? He made intercession for the transgressor. And you and I are transgressors. We transgress God's holy law according to the Word, according to the Bible. The scriptures. You and I had transgressed God's holy law, and he holds us guilty. That's why he said, let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Now, how many people know that? How many people is that a living reality to? I wonder to how many people you sitting before me or out in Radio Land, is that a reality to you? That one day you stood before him guilty. You saw where you broke every one of his holy law. You transgressed it. You trampled upon it. You might have done it in ignorance, but you did it. And God holds you guilty. But in holding the sinner guilty, he has provided a way of redemption from that guilt, from that transgression. Jesus Christ, he prayed for the transgressor. He makes intercession for them. And I was a transgressor, and he made intercession for me. He prayed for me, like he prays for the sinner. He poured out his soul unto death. And when he shall see the travail of his soul, then he shall be satisfied. Then shall my righteous servant justify many. Isn't that wonderful? Justify me through his death. And what does that word justify means? It means imputing all of my sins upon Christ, and then imputing Christ's righteousness upon me. Clothe me with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself a ransom for all. But will all receive it? Will all believe it? No. How many of you here in Radio Land believes the gospel? You believe the scriptures. Yes, he gave himself a ransom for all. But you cannot believe that without the Holy Spirit granting you faith to believe it. Man has no faith to believe God's word, or believe God himself, or believe the Holy Spirit, or believe the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe things spiritual. They cannot discern spiritual things. Faith is a gift. God grants that faith for you to believe that. Now, when you leave this building this morning, I wonder how many is going to believe the gospel. I wonder how many is going to believe what you've heard. You may go out and say, well, you know, I couldn't believe that. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. That shows right there that you cannot believe in yourself. Faith is a gift of God. And no wonder you glory in the Lord Jesus Christ after he saves you, because you come to see salvation is all of grace. It's a gift. He gives it to you. You never earned it. You never worked for it. And you were no different a sinner than anyone else. It's just that God loved you, and God awakened you, God called you, God predestinated you to be conformed into the image of his Son. God granted you faith, saving faith, to believe it. And believing it makes a change of life. Christ took the sinner's place and bore the sinner's judgment. Christ died that we might have life, eternal life forever. Oh, how precious the thoughts there, that I might have eternal life forever. Christ died that we might have eternal life forever. And it was according to scriptures. According to the scripture, Christ died. You do away with the scripture, you have no gospel. You have no foundation of your faith. You have no promises. All you got to do is lean on man then, man's opinions, man's interpretations, man's reasoning, and you begin to reason like the world, and that's the way that leads to hell. According to scripture, the prophet of the Old Testament prophesied of the atoning death of Christ. All the sacrifices of former dispensation pictured his one offering of himself upon the cross. Psalms 22 tells us, also Isaiah 53, Zechariah 12 and 13, and many other scriptures set forth the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to turn, but we've got a little time, to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. In that first verse, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make those who come to it perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he come into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God, in the volume of the book. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure in them which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He took away all of those daily sacrifices, that he may establish the one offering. Now let's go on. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Once and for all. One atonement Christ made for sin. Once and for all. But this man, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering the often the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, praise the Lord. Forever. Forever. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ did for the sinner. Did for his people. A sacrifice. He offered the Father a sacrifice. Once and for all. That will do away with all those slayings of beasts and goats, which just typified his death. It all pointed to his death. To the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was once and for all. There'll never be another sacrifice for sins, because Christ gave himself for sins, for the sins of his people. And I praise the Lord for that. And he perfected them forever and forever. No condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Condemnation's gone. It didn't say that those that believe in Christ, in Christ. So you see how important it is just to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be found in him, not having your own righteousness, which is the law, which is of works, but that which cometh by faith, faith in Christ. I see him with the eye of faith. I believe upon him with the eye of faith. I trust him with the eye of faith. I see him within the veil by faith. And these people go out and say, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. I see a vision. Or I see this and that. There's no such thing. That's all of Satan. The Word of God doesn't teach anything like that. The old dispensation had visions, but not the new one. We've got the Word of God. We've got the Scriptures. We've got the Gospel to believe. And that's what it comes. I mean, unless you believe, unless the Holy Spirit opens that heart and grants your faith to believe, you'll never be able to say that I know Christ. He was buried. Yes, you ever go back and read about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? And just in your heart and your mind, watch them as they put him on that cross and took him down and buried him. And then watch with those women the next morning there when he rose again. And with those lone disciples there now, he was being taken out of their midst. But there he goes to live for them. And he sends back the Holy Spirit 40 days after that to indwell them, to comfort their hearts, and to prophesy, and to reveal Christ, and to take the things of Christ, that which the gospel proclaims, and preach it, and teach it. Paul exclaims, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We don't serve a dead Christ, we serve a living Christ. A living Christ. He lives forever and ever. He's our life. The resurrection of Christ was the Heavenly Father's expression of satisfaction in the work of his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to Christ. Listen to the message, the gospel, that we preach, the gospel message. It's Christ. And if you go to any other church and they preach anything but Christ, you can set them aside as a false prophet. If they begin to tell a whole lot of jokes and fairy tales, you set them aside as false prophets. Because God's servants do not dishonor their Lord or God's message. It upholds the message. And Christ is that message. Because there's no other salvation but in Christ. There's no other name given among men by whereby we must be saved. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. God raised him from the dead and exalted him at his own right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And he's required men everywhere to repent, because there's coming a day in when he's going to judge the world. By who? By this man whom he has ordained and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess, whether it be in heaven or on earth or on the earth, and that every knee is going to bow and crown him Lord. Confess that he's Lord. And brother and sister, you're going to confess Christ as Lord. And you're going to surrender your life and let him be Lord of your life. Or you'll never know salvation. You'll never go to heaven. Now, I'm preaching the truth this morning. I'm preaching the gospel. And there's too many of you that are fooling around. And you come to see if this thing is real and that thing is real. You're going to die and go to hell. And you're going to quit telling this preacher what to do and how to preach. And what to do. Because you're not going to live forever. And I'm not going to live through it forever, but I'm going to give the best I can for my Lord. And I'm going to preach the gospel. And I'm going to be true to your soul. And I'm telling you, you're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. Now here's the foundation of our salvation. Our hope of eternal life. What is it? Christ died. Now listen, sinner. Christ buried. Christ ascended. Christ at the right hand of the majesty on high in glory as a prince and a savior. As a prince and a savior. My savior. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now do you believe that gospel we preached this morning? Or are you going to go away with enmity in your heart and bitterness there? Or are you going to ask the Lord to take you, clean you up, bring you to the place of death, and stop your arguing and complaining or going around trying to find somebody to comfort you in your sins, in your rebellion. I'm not comforting nobody in their rebellion. I'm not comforting anybody in their sins, because I know it's hell. I don't care who it is. I'm going to be true to my Lord, and I'm going to be true to your soul. Now, if you go to hell, it'll be your choice. If you go to heaven, it'll be God's choice. And you'll give God all the glory, and you'll praise him from now to eternity. We'll come to the end of our message, and thank you for listening in to us. May God bless you till next week. Goodbye.